looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I'm here giving you reasons to feel good. I just love that. You feel better. You feel good. And today, you know what? I feel like every episode we have exceptional authors. But I have to tell you, today's author really brought me something special that I didn't even know that I needed. And so I'm hoping that everyone listening came here for the reason that we announced, but also that you are open to receiving quite a surprise gift. And we're kicking this off because saying goodbye to a loved one or experiencing grief and loss of any kind are some of life's greatest difficulties. There is so much pain when you lose someone, and I'm going to add in the word something here as well, because it's also animals aren't things, but you know, it's not just always a loved one person. It can be anything that means so much to you that you can't bear not having it in your physical world. And today's author has just written a book that it just surprised me because it was so uplifting, so helpful, so encouraging. And I love that word. That's my word for this book. That's my word for you. I know you're on my guest on the line. I'm going to surprise introduce her. But it was so encouraging that I didn't want to stop reading it, even though it was one of the most difficult topics to read about, you know, losing a loved one. So I want to share with you that we have author Misty Thompson with us, and she's written this gorgeous book. It's going to go in my library as of the most, you know, helpful books. And Misty Thompson, I want to say, first of all, welcome. Thank you so much for being here and writing From Grief to Acceptance. It's an active process for healing while honoring our loved ones. So welcome to the show, Misty.
Thank you so much. I am really excited to be here with you. I truly am.
Oh, I can feel it. I can hear it. And yes. I was just sharing with Misty, everybody listening right now, that this is the first time I get to speak with Misty. And usually I get to have a little chit-chat before with my authors, but she just has the sweetest voice. I have to, like, I can't believe you actually worked in a corrections facility.
I know I did, yeah.
and let me just, I would like to share that with everybody too, a little bit about
sure,
you.
Sure, absolutely.
Yes, and Misty's passion is to serve those who need support with their daily struggles and healing their grief, guiding her clients to the life that they will begin to believe and know is gratifying instead of overwhelming. Gosh, I love these things so much. You currently reside with your husband in Thatcher, Arizona, and you enjoy spending time with your four children and four grandchildren.
Yes.
And
they are my world.
and you're retired now from working in a correctional facility for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And you already are an author. You wrote a book before, mm-hmm, about your sister and everyone. Missy went through losing her sister through a very tragic murder, and her going through dealing with this loss. And there's so many stages and steps, and we're going to walk through them. I want to ask you about them. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get to read your first book, and now I want to, of course. But your second book, there was so much healing, and you really offer that to everybody. Can you kick us off with? I'm going to jump to this one. Your healing. I would like to ask you, what does it look like for somebody when they get stuck in the grieving process? Because your book helps them.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's. You know, it's interesting because we help people because we are really looking for ourselves to help ourselves. Yeah. So that's what came through. I was writing the first book about my sister, and this was like 20 plus years after she passed. I just promised my mom after I retired I would write a book. My mom just didn't physically do it. Okay. And so I told her I would, and that's how I got my first book. Well, as I was writing all of this, it was like my sister was coming to me, explaining to me these phases. And the more I started thinking about it, the more I realized it's absolutely true because, you know, we have the ones that we've all learned about, you know, when you have grief, you're going to have anger and denial and bargaining, and which is true, don't get me wrong, but why are we emphasizing on that? Because there's so much more to it than that. And that's where the five phases come into play that was given to me through my sister as I was writing my first book.
And I love how those five phases, and actually I think that's what made your book so, I want everybody to know that when I read a book, I always take notes, but my gosh, I had like 4 pages of notes I was just taking, and it was effortless, by the way, but because as you were given, so there are the five phases, as we know from before, the stages of grief, and I have to say that, oh my gosh, one of your things that you wrote, I just love this, it's that grieving, it doesn't have to include fear. That was so such a big thing for me. And do you think that were you fearful in the first before you went through these process?
Oh, absolutely. You know, when I when this all this happened with my sister, it was back in 1993. I kind of was numb to it. My three older kids were ages 7, and I have twins that were 2.5. So I was working full time, so I was able to get distracted. But the fear is definitely something that I was working through, you know, and it was just like fear, and not just the normal fear. I mean, of course, it's fear of death. Like, is that kind of, you know, how am I going to die? Why do we have to, why does she have to die like this? You know, it was brutal, you know, and is my mom going to be okay? So I was fearful of her health and safety. Am I going to be okay? How is this going to affect my family? You know, just all of these fear in general came to me. And, you know, we can't heal it unless we begin to walk through it. It's just when people are stuck in it, and I was stuck in it for many years, but, and I was mad at the world and I didn't even know why, but when you move through it, you know, on the other side, there's just such an awakening, and it was great for me because once I started really with looking at my sister's death and really analyzing all of it and not being afraid in the sense of, okay, I'm afraid of fear, so I'm just going to not deal with it. It just sat there and festered. So, you know, when you actually kind of dissect it a little bit, you realize it's just you are missing a little bit of your connection to source.
You brought up something so interesting right there, and I just want everybody to really – I can feel about
–
double the amount of listeners are actually going to connect with this one right now. You had said something like – okay, so you shared with us, and thank you, that your sister had been tragically murdered, and you had this fear like, oh, my gosh, what if I die that way? How is my mom?
Yeah.
And you know what's really interesting is even my mom's passed, and I remember it was at the time from breast cancer, and my sister, I remember her going, oh, my gosh, well, I better get checked. So we actually can be fearful of the way we die of a genetic thing or disease or.
Absolutely.
And you're right. If we live in that fear, like mom died of this, so your sister died of this, or what if I die that way? And you're right. We don't realize how much the festering of that can take.
That festering alone can cause, you know, the panic attacks. And a lot of it is just the festering part of not dealing with it. And I know it's kind of cliche, but it's so very true. It's not dealing with that fear or the grief. And usually it's deeper than just somebody passed away. It's usually way more deeper than just that. But when you finally get to that root of the problem and you start working with it instead of against it, it will just slowly begin to dissolve. And then you'll be like, what, why was I even so worked up about that? You know, that's how it was for me. And working with my clients, it's been the same thing, whether it's grief or, you know, I want a better relationship or whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. But it all basically comes from fear.
And actually, you know what, you just me. I can't find the note, but I remember this very vividly.
Yeah,
you shared with us that
that what you just said, it goes deeper. It's not about them anymore because they're past.
Right.
It's about us.
That is huge.
Yeah. So right now, everybody who's lost a loved one and is like going, oh, I can't believe they died that way. Well, they're gone. It's now us. So
right.
how do we recognize that we're stuck there?
Yes. Well, you know, and that's one thing that led my fear when I started dissecting it. And plus my sister was, you know, coming to me, you know, I kind of call it my downloading. My download. And over and over in my head, it was just like, I'm okay. That part is over. It doesn't matter anymore. And when I realized that part of it, that quite honestly, her physical body may have been, and I don't want to get too graphic, but her physical body endured a lot. But she was gone before that. And I truly believe that because I was told that by her, that, you know, she was gone before, you know, they kept eating or whatever, but she was gone. And so when I started having that thought, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. But I focused on that thought. I believe it was my sister. And that was helping me dissect the fear that you're right. You know, my connection to source is not going to allow me to suffer any more than I have to. That, you know, they only give us what we can take. And they're going to help me through it. My sister's gone. So, you know, I truly believe that once her spirit left the physical body, she was free. You know, and I did write a little bit about that, about how I was a little jealous of that. I'm still stuck on earth dealing with this grief thing, and she's free. Her spirit is free, and, you know, her physical body's gone. But, but that fear can totally keep us stuck. And it's when you really start breaking it down piece by piece, it's really not that overwhelming. It's just not being afraid of facing the fear.
And that's actually one of the five encouraging phases, which is love over fear.
Yes, absolutely.
And so I'm so glad because that's such an interesting and just to help people with that one, and they'll have to read the book to get more. But because we've sat with that fear, and I think that was a really good place. I think a lot of people do. That's their biggest stuck. They get over the first hurdle. But how does love come into play there to help you get through fear?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I've come to realize, and, you know, it's been working with different people, my sister, my spiritual teachers, all of them, and it just made me realize that you either have love in your heart or you have fear in your heart. And you can't have both. I want to say Marianne Williamson is probably one who talked about that in one of her speeches that I went to see her a long time ago. And it made a little sense back then, but the more I started analyzing, it's so true, because if you have love, we are love. We are a connection to source. We are a connection of God. When you are connected like that, there's always love. Always. Mm-hmm. And when you have love, you're not afraid, because when you have love, you know without a doubt that God is going to help us and protect us and guide us. Yes, I mean, there's things that come up, you know, with my sister, but her thing, and I started realizing that it's like, that's not an everyday occurrence. And, you know, and I had to realize that she made choices to get her in a situation of that, you know, that kind of thing. We would ever do that. We make our own choices, but I can be aware, I can learn from her choices, and I can step in, and that way, and I can just show more love. If I show more love with myself, with the people around me, because that's what God is, I'll have a closer connection to God. And when I have that closer connection to God, first of all, I have nothing to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. Second of all, He's going to protect me. And when you have that connection, you know without a doubt that God is going to take care of you.
Mm-hmm. I love that you had brought in there about everybody makes their choices in their lives, and that's it's not, and it's judgment. So we're actually going to talk about judgment throughout this show,
not.
Because that's a big one. A lot of people of that judgment, we are so getting to that one, but I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
But in the title, well, your title of the book, which is From Grief to Acceptance, mm-hmm. but in that subtitle, what it is, it's an active process for healing while honoring our loved ones. And I think that's what we really, you bring up so beautifully. And I think a lot of people, you know, when we do get angry, you know, when mm-hmm. we have that anger in it first, like, how could you?
Yeah.
I love that you took, gosh, I'm going all over the place because I'm so excited. I remember when you said about you, you looked at, it was your issues and not others, but how dare they leave me like that, or how dare this or that. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of blame. There's a lot of blame. There's a lot of judgment to even, that's a few next ones. But out of the five, I'll go in order so I don't throw everybody. The next one you talk about is vulnerability over shame. Mm-hmm. And we have about a minute before we're going to commercial still. So I just wanted to start with that one. Vulnerability. Why? Yeah. We don't want
I
to
know.
Be vulnerable.
That's a yucky one. Yeah. You know, showing your true feelings within reason, of course, that definitely will help you so that shame does not fester inside of you. And when it festers, that's when you can get the physical ailments and, you know, just the hate in your heart. And we're not that. That's not how we're supposed to be created. We are created with our connection. And when you do that, when you're just being your true self, and if you feel like crying, you know, put yourself in your bedroom for 15, 20 minutes, have a good cry, and pick yourself up and go, you know. And I know it seems like, oh, that's easier said than done, but it is. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Leslie, that is a huge one. You know what, everybody, timing is everything. That's what we have to go to commercial break. But
of course.
So amazing. We're going to come back and you can share with people like why that is important to have a stop, a time stopper to say, okay, you can cry, let's do this, but then you need to stop and let's move on. So we'll go to commercial. When we come back, we're here with Misty Thompson, author of From Grief to Acceptance. When we're back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicent, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Imagine tapping into a power where you could access the ability to transform your views of money, success, happiness, and fulfillment. A power that you could unlock hidden talents, uncover new meaning, and amplify the significance of your purpose. Well, the feminine heart is the source of that power, intelligence, insight, and understanding. Join this new wave of women's leadership that's emerging. Be the woman who knows her greatest power to create goes well beyond the day-to-day striving for results. Be the woman who knows her true power to contribute to the world in significant ways is one that expresses her heart, enlivens her creativity, and elevates her spirit. Rise, amazing woman, rise. An amazing woman legacy book compiled by Marsh Engel, sharing the 8 essential powers of the feminine from 8 influential mentors, entrepreneurs, and change makers that will help you tap into that power. Rise, amazing woman, rise. Your legacy begins by leading with a feminine heart.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Aw, thanks for hanging out with us today. You're here with Light on Living. I'm Lisa Berry, and we have author Misty Thompson, who's written From Grief to Acceptance, which is an active, I love that, an active process of for healing while honoring the loved ones. Like, you just pack a punch and all that. And you really shared with us, which is a gift from your sister who was murdered, and she came to you and helps you come up with these five encouraging phases of dealing with grief. And I'm so amazed, and I want to share this with everybody. The next step of what we're talking about is that vulnerability over shame. But allow me to share with everyone how, and ask you at the same time, how did you hold on to such an authoritative position in your career, which was working at a correctional facility, while going through the stage of vulnerability? That's got it. I can't even imagine.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. It was difficult because, working in the prison, we're taught not to be vulnerable because that could be a weakness. You know, the inmates might try to manipulate us in some way if they know too much about us.
Yeah.
And that was hard for me because I've always been fairly open. Like, as a kid, if I was feeling something, if I understood, I would say it. But then it was just kind of like I would just shut down, and it got to the point where it festered, and I was at work, and I just started bawling, crying, just uncontrollably. And that's why it's important that when you take care of that, it won't come out in outbursts, you know?
Right.
It won't fester enough. So, you know, if it festers too much, it's going to come out the worst half the time, which it did.
It did, I'm sure.
Yeah. My supervisor, you know, talked to me and, you know, helped me with that. And, you know, I began to realize that if I control, and I don't want to use it in a bad way, but if I'm at home and I'm feeling a little sad, that is okay. And it's okay for me to acknowledge, hey, I'm feeling a little bit sad. I'm thinking about my sister today. You know, it's okay. Sometimes all we need to do is just express and just, you know, and our, you know, my husband would be like, okay, it's cool. You know, just go take 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
But a lot of times we don't even ask. We just assume that, nope, they're not going to help me. Oh, I got to do this with the kids. Nope, I have no one to help me. And that may be true, but it's true because you created that. And you can also create being vulnerable. You know, on some days if you just need it. It got to the point where I'd be at work. I'd come home from work, and my daughter, at the time, she's like 9 or 10. And she's like, yes, I know, Mom. You need 15 minutes to chill. I'm like, yes, I
love her.
You know, it's the same thing with, you know, dealing with vulnerability. It's just when you feel it starting to come up, whether it's sadness, whether it's being angry, whether it doesn't matter, even if it's happy and you don't want to share or you do want to share, you know, you need to find the person that you feel comfortable with to share it with first and foremost, but give yourself, love yourself enough to know that it is okay. We have that emotion for a reason. You know, we have that, and we're not supposed to push it down or not. It's how we deal with grief or sadness or whatever it is being vulnerable and letting those emotions flow.
Well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I just so funny. I forgot actually, but just not even a week ago. I think it was just a couple. Oof, yeah, it was a couple weeks. I just found out that we lost Barbara Marks Hubbard. She died at 89, very natural causes, you know. But it hit me, and I went, oh, and I'm gonna be upset here. And so I left my hair. I know I said I need to excuse myself. I just need a few moments. And just to honor myself, and I did. I tucked myself away in the bathroom, you know, and then pull it together.
Yeah.
But You're right. When I think to have someone right now who might be suffering here that, you know, maybe they've got to be like me, I'm always in a happy place and I've been, and that's what I'm not expected, but people assume that. And that's my authoritative role, joy. But sometimes,
of course,
yeah, I'm not feeling so joyful.
Well, yeah, because you're not supposed to.
Right. So yeah, that's very honoring of you to share that. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's a big one. So, and yours is actually vulnerability over shame. And when you say shame, because we did talk about, weakness and possibly be manipulated. But what do you mean when you say vulnerability over shame?
Over shame. Well, I know I grew up, and I'm sure many of your listeners have too. A lot of people I've talked to already have. You know, I would be like reprimanded when I was younger because, you want to cry? I'll give you something to cry about. It was kind of like push it in. And so you got to the point where, or it's kind of like, don't let people see you cry or they're going to think you're weak, and I don't think my parents meant anything by it. It's just how they were taught. But, so it got to the point, like, if I cried, I felt ashamed of myself. Like, I let people down, and I'm supposed to be, or even as I grew older when my sister passed, I'm supposed to be the strong one for my mom. I'm supposed to be the strong one for my kids. I'm supposed to be the strong one. I'm tough. I work at a prison. I'm tough, whatever it is. And when you have those false expectations of yourself, then, and others too, in fact, but when you have those false expectations and you let yourself down because of vulnerability, because you show yourself, your true self, in that moment, it comes to find out that you feel ashamed of yourself and you're afraid people are going to be ashamed of you, in fact.
Yes.
And, they have to realize, everyone needs to realize that it's okay to be vulnerable. Like I said, that's what we're supposed to do. It's how we process.
The way you say that, I'm so happy that you brought up about parents and their just teachers. Because there's something that we talk that is known for you. You're helping people to co-creating their new life. And I think that's so neat because you grew up with a life that was that way, could be shaming or all those things. But we do get to co-create the new life. And I love that the next one, which is compassion over judgment. Because what an awesome new life to have filled with compassion over judgment. Oh, I love that.
Right.
So what does compassion do?
I know.
Yeah,
compassion, it's not only for others, and just being compassionate. Because when I think of compassion, I think of, and I don't know, this must be something I was brought up thinking, I don't know, but it used to be, I used to think of compassion like, you have to feel sorry for them where they're at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You have to give them pity. And it's not that at all. It's compassion is just giving them their space, whether it's themselves or you, giving your space to just honor yourself and showing compassion over the judgments. It's just so important because we're all just trying to make our way in this world. You don't have to agree with people. You don't have to do any of that. But compassion, to me, not having pity on them, but just being compassionate to where they are in their life. And a lot of times, you can be there for people, but they have to walk through it themselves. Because, I can't fix it. I can only fix my own. And just giving them, holding space for them in a compassionate way to help them with their growth, whatever that means for them. Doesn't mean what you think. And not judging where they're at. Not judging their life choices. And I found I was doing that with my sister. I should have been more compassionate to her instead of judging her life, her choices. I realized a whole lot about that during all this process. And, it's just so important. And then for me, too, because I judged her, I was judging her, I needed to have compassion that's just something I needed to learn more about, and that we all have our own path and we make our own choices. And doesn't mean you have pity on them. It doesn't mean, I guess I used to think my way was the right way. And
yes.
It was right for me, not for her, you know.
Yep.
And so, and for anybody. So, same thing, you know, I have my my daughter, she's 16, my youngest daughter's 16. And, you know, especially around Christmas time, they have people, you know, at Walmart parking lot asking for money. And I don't always give money, but my daughter made a comment, and it kind of bothered me, and she didn't mean anything by it. I mean, she was just stating her opinion, but she made a comment about, I cannot believe that they have enough nerve doing that when all they're going to do is just blow it on drugs and alcohol.
Super judgment.
And,
yes.
Wow. Super judgment. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, teenagers, they kind of have, they think they know it all anyways, but... You know, I just kind of had to bring her back in and just explain, you know, that may be true, but that's not for us to judge that.
Right.
That's not for us.
You
all
know,
we can show compassion to them.
I love that you shared that example. First of all, thank you. Because in that statement, in anybody's statement, whoever has made that, I've heard that statement made so many times.
Yeah.
And we've all heard judgments and made judgments. But you said something very profound. And I'm probably paraphrasing, or, you know, not quoting it perfectly. But
that's okay. Yeah.
When you were saying about, I just got judgment cannot support growth. And here we are looking at someone wanting them. It hurts us to see them, mm-hmm. not what we think their potential could be. But by the very
yes.
judgment of it, we are preventing yes. our desire for them and their desire.
Yes. Absolutely.
That is so beautiful. So in what, oh, I have goosebumps. So in her saying, it probably hurt her to see them not, you know, thinking, oh,
that's,
you know.
Ultimately, it was, that's yeah. what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that definitely was it. It was hurting her because she wanted them to, because, you know, I mean, she would never come to that conclusion on her own, of course.
Right.
You know, she's a teenager.
Right.
But yeah, I truly believe that she just wants to see them in their best possible light.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't see it for themselves. And, you know, you just
they do,
but
it's
in love.
Or they do see that in themselves.
True.
Maybe that is their best, but we're
that's
seeing where, yeah.
True.
It's so crazy how
you
that
know,
goes. Like,
yeah, no, that's perfectly true. With my sister, it was the same kind of thing because with her, it was, you know, she didn't really have a steady job. She was in between jobs and, you know, she just didn't have a lot of material things. Well, I thought that was ridiculous.
Right.
And it's not that I'm extraordinarily, you know, materialistic, but I like driving nice cars. I mean, that's been too fancy, but I like driving a new car. I like living in a comfortable house. You know, I like those things. It makes my life easier, but she could care less about them. And then I realized I was judging her for that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was happy. She was probably happier than I ever was.
Yes.
Yeah. So she probably had judgments of me, like, how could she do that? You know, how could she have a 9-to-5 job and raise kids? And
she probably thought you were in prison,
all the time.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting. So it's just being compassionate to where people are at. And, you know, anytime I see anybody that I've learned, and it's a process, but I've learned that when I begin to see judgments, if I begin to judge, I switch it, and I automatically ask God to send them light and love, always.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
You know, and, yeah, and that way they'll be in their best possible light.
Yes. And, you know, that is actually, I love that you said that you stop when you notice this. And this, again,
yeah.
one of your five encouraging phases of grief. And that's what I'm loving about this. Now, we do have two left. But before we do that, I would love to hear right now, people I know they're connecting. They're like, gosh, you know, not only should, yes, you go and pick up this book, Misty Thompson, it's From Grief to Acceptance, An Active Process for Healing While Honoring Our Loved Ones. But they can actually get the book and meet you. And I just want to have you share announcements where you're kicking off your tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so excited. Oh, this is awesome. And, you know it's right when things just kind of come up without a whole lot of effort and when it's just so exciting and fun. And actually, we're kicking it off in Seattle. We're actually getting a few dates confirmed. I believe we have the Barnes. We're going to be at, or I'm, and I say we because my publicist is going to be with me, but I'm
yes,
going to be at
Mr. Jonathan Masulian.
Yes. He's been so good. He's been so helpful. I really appreciate it. But he's going to be with me. But I'm going to be doing I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble.
That's July 26th, right? Friday.
Okay, yes, I don't have the dates for. I'm actually out of town, so I forgot to bring my dates. But yeah,
that's okay. That's terrible. No.
With the book tomorrow. No. Yeah, I knew it was the end of July. I'm going to be at Barnes & Noble and going to be on local media, television shows there. He's confirming those as we speak. And the local library is there. So I'm so excited. Oh, and East West Bookstore.
Yeah. So we do. I love that. So right now, for everybody, you're around July 26th from 6 to 8 p.m. that specific time, and it is a Friday, and it's you've got the Barnes & Noble there. You can go. I would love for you to stop by because, first of all, listen to her voice. It's so peaceful. If you're struggling, you want this voice, Misty, to hear.
You're so nice.
And, you know, this is I love it. Your book will touch everybody. Everybody goes through loss, as we said right at the beginning. And we're still going to talk about the last two. I'm not going to share them yet because we've got another minute before commercial. But, Misty, in 30 seconds, share with us why this is your mission now, to help people get through grief. And if we can't do it in 30 seconds, don't worry. We'll finish it when we get back.
No, it's fine. No, it's my passion. I have to do it. It's kind of like my sister couldn't finish that job. I don't even think she realized it until after she passed. And so I'm the physical part for her to get this message out there just to help people. You know, people need to live in happiness. That's what we're created to do, to live our best selves.
They really are.
It's, you know, people need to step into their power and their light.
Well, you know what? Talk about co-creation. You've got you in the physical world and she's in the spiritual side. I love that kind of co-creation. So everybody, please come back and join us after these commercial breaks, because we are going to do the two more steps in the five encouraging phases from grief to acceptance. We'll be back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. The perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Minds connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Well, thank you, every one of you lovely listeners right now, for joining us and really taking time for yourself to feel better. Feel better about the situation that you're in. It could just be any challenge, really. And it's so funny. I pick up these books to read by these amazing authors who are just truly following their passion. They know they're on a mission, and their book is their way of delivering a message, whether it's supporting you or teaching you or just being there with you. And Misty Thompson's book, I was so surprised by it, you know, From Grief to Acceptance, because I was reading it at first because I'm going to be interviewing her, not because I had any grief to go through.
Right,
and,
right.
And you know, as I was reading it, Misty, I went, oh, wait a second, because you have questions in this book along the way, because we are doing, there's nothing more attractive than to read a book that is going to make you feel better. So just knowing there was 5 encouraging phases of grief, I was like, oh,
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you invited me to actually explore my grief in a safe way, and that's what I would love to have.
Cool.
That quote, that was my quote for you. You did. And the next step, which is forgiveness over resentment.
Yes.
I can tell you, I didn't think I had any. I wasn't angry. I didn't have any resentment, but then when I started reading it, I went, no, I do.
You're like, wait a minute, I think there's something there.
Yes. And but you you know what, you brought it up to light, and then you walked through some steps, which we can talk about, but then it actually dissolved and healed for me by just reading your chapter. So thank you.
Oh, that's good. That's so good. Yeah.
So let's do that one. Forgiveness over resentment. And your, because the, you blew me away with some of the questions of why you'd even hold resentment. I was like, oh my gosh, that's deep.
It truly is. It's that resentment, man. I mean, if you don't deal with that one, that's a really rough one. And forgiveness is so difficult to get over. It truly is. And you know, when somebody says they're grieving, I think a lot of it has to do with forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big piece of that's forgiving. And whether you didn't say what you wanted to say, or you had an argument before, or, and then you start resenting the person, even if they've passed, because, and it's not them, it's you that you're working with. You know, you're trying to uncover those things that you've been blocking, the resentment. And if you don't forgive, the resentment's only going to grow and grow and grow. And it's one of those things, you know, just like with every other negative thing in our life, if we don't deal with it, it will fester and it will implode somehow, some way in your body.
Yes, and it's shocking ways. And I have to laugh. I had when you said about when somebody says they're grieving, it's often with forgiveness. Do you know that I actually wrote out the word really fast, that the letters that spell grieve are actually in forgiveness?
You're right.
I was like, wait a second,
that's crazy.
Like that.
You're right.
There's a question that you ask in the book, and you said sometimes our resentment can be like, why was that the person who got to last see, like, you know, my sister, your sister in that case, or, you know, in my case would be my mom. And you know, you made me think of something, and I want to share this. When my mom was passing, she was in different states. It wasn't really her at the time, and she was sick. And it's so funny. I am not a touchy feely person. Like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. Like, you know, I just want my own space. But and my sister, she's so like, she'll rub your feet and she can hug you and stuff. And so I didn't realize how at first, like, I was holding resentment. Like, she got to go to visit mom and rub her feet and make my mom feel good. And I could just stand there and talk to her, who she wasn't really even, coherent.
Right.
So I didn't realize that maybe I had a little bit of resentment growing there. And who would have known that? And I mean, I have a great relationship with my sister, but it made me create stories about myself. Like, gosh, you're just not that loving, are you, Lisa? You know, you just, because you can't touch people, you can't do that, you couldn't do that. And I didn't know until I went. I was like, oh my gosh, that's, and I must have been holding a little bit, because I pulled even further away, you know, from my sister after that.
Yeah.
But thank you. So you strengthened my relationship.
Yeah,
my
perfect. You know, awareness of it is huge, because once you become aware of it, you'll find ways to resolve it. But if you were just in a way like you're not aware of it, like, nope, that's not me, then it's going to make itself known somehow, some way. So that was huge. Just the awareness piece for you, that's huge.
Yes.
But number one, be aware of it.
Yeah. Be aware.
Start working on trying to change that, you know, so you're not the story of the resentment. You are the story that, you know, you were able to heal resentment by forgiving. And that's,
yes.
And it's not just the other person. It's yourself.
I have to write that down. So you are not the story of your resentment. Oh my gosh, Misty, that's so powerful. I had to look at that. My notes are getting notes. Oh, what an active emotional day. This is great. With that, because I know, and forgiveness is just like, you learn so much about it, it goes on. But I want to make sure that we have time to get to the final the fifth encouraging phase of grace. This is by Missy Thompson and her sister, and Stephanie, right?
Yes, her name's Stephanie,
Yeah, so we don't acknowledge her. And anybody, I want you to go and grab this book because it is it's going to be such a tool book for me. But it's From Grief to Acceptance, an Active Process for Healing While Honoring Our Loved Ones. And the final one is Gratitude Over Guilt. Oh, big one.
Yeah, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah, that's another powerful one, the guilt.
Yeah. That's what keeps us up. But how can you feel like... you didn't kill her, so what role would you be playing?
Right. Well, for me, you know, I didn't have a great relationship with her in our adult life. You know, we went our separate ways. I didn't understand her way of living. She didn't understand my way of living. But then I realized that none of that even matters. You know, it really is ultimately if they're a good person and if they did the best they could. You know, that is ultimately what it is. And, you know, did they do the best they could to show compassion to others? Did they show good in their heart by, you know, being in a place of love as much as possible? You know, those are the things that's really important.
Mm-hmm.
And the other things don't really matter. And once I became aware of that, that piece just kind of slowly went away, and I was able to heal my own guilt. And that kind of goes back to the forgiveness piece again, because when I could forgive myself for feeling guilty and because, you know, we didn't have a relationship, maybe I should have tried harder or, you know, maybe I should have picked up the phone and now I'll never have a chance to say. And, you know, all of these things, I know we all go through that. But, you know, ultimately, and I don't want to sound harsh about it, but in the physical sense, it's over. It's done. It's final. And I think that's what really kind of scares people because it's like final. It's done. You don't get a chance. It's over. And it's so final. I mean, death is so final. And but for me, I had to help my sister move on because she was missing for 55 days before we found her. Nobody knew. We couldn't find her. And she was coming to me, and I had to help her because I felt like her spirit was confused where she was at. She was gone, but she was confused. You know, she was, you know, conflicted. And so I helped her on her path on the other side, and she helped me start formulate mine.
Missy, that was huge. Oh, I remember. That was a huge angle. So glad you said that there.
Oh, you're so funny.
Because you mentioned that, like, so what I got from that was that you're saying, and you're getting this because Stephanie was able to share this with you, but that souls are actually confused on the other side. That blew me away because I was like,
don't
they know everything over there? You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, especially like in her case because it was a murder.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like she was sick or it happened so fast in a car accident where somebody may have hit you, but I feel like it's a little bit more planned in a way. Not necessarily on her part, but from the you know, connection to source kind of way, you know, is everyone, they're not planned. But because it's involved somebody other, you know, actually doing the act of killing her, I felt like her soul was just a little confused, you know, like her body and her mind was gone, but her soul was kind of confused because it happened fast. I believe that. And it just happened in a way that she just wasn't quite sure. Something wasn't feeling right with her. And so
she can't.
I feel like she was coming, going to different people in the family and nobody could hear her except for me, and my uncle ended up having a dream about her, but he didn't know anything about it. Because he has dreams where, you know, he gets stories and people coming in his dreams. And so that's what made me realize. And it was very strange, and my mom did not understand it at first, that after I had these conversations with her, it was like, I was like, Mom, it's going to be okay. I just had a sense of peace about it. Mm-hmm. And she's gone. And yes, I still had some processing to do on my end, but I knew she was okay. Mm-hmm. And I knew the guilt was still there for sure. But it, right at that point, it was starting to shift in a place where I could heal from it instead of be consumed by it in a negative way.
Yes. And I have to tell you, again, super life-shifting for me. And not only did I, when I read that and it kind of went, I was like, oh, I got to ask her about that. I swear I was listening to something and that, like the next day, yesterday or something, and it came up and I went, all right, this is my message and maybe many people think that once you die, you are now full knowing, full understanding, you're perfect, you know, everything's all good. And I was just like, and something else that I just love that you, that is coming together. I heard that when we are contracted, like hate, resentment, all those negative, but not so good things, that we, so when you're contracted, you can't be connected. I heard that and I went, oh my gosh.
Right. So it makes sense. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it feels like you're giving us a, these five steps, like these five phases to allow us to become expanded, not contracted, so that we can connect and heal.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Definitely.
So what is next for you? Like, okay, I'm still, this, you know what it is? You know when you watch a movie and you think about it still for days? Yeah. That's what I feel like.
Oh, you're so nice. Yeah. Well,
for you,
you know,
on
this
tour.
Well, I'm just really, first of all, I love connecting with people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with my clients, I hope that people feel comfortable telling me their stories without being consumed and becoming their story. Mm-hmm. But, hey, this is just what helps me. But I really love connecting with people. So no matter what it is, my clients or if I'm on a radio show like this, whatever it is, I love connecting with people. So I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So after the Seattle trip, I'm planning on – we're going to do another tour, book tour in the Tucson area because I do already work with the local libraries there in Tucson.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to – yeah, we're putting something together there. That'll probably be in September. And then we are planning on doing a Phoenix book tour as well. And but those dates, we don't have any really dates set yet.
Yeah.
But once I do, all that will be on my website for sure. Yeah. So and I'm just planning on enjoying that. And, you know, I'm just still working on creating for my clients and, you know, being there for them. And, of course, with my kids and my grandbabies.
Mm-hmm. And then when you say clients, can people – do you coach them through these steps?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And what I do – I mean, I have different – ways of doing that, but yeah, absolutely. I see clients, and I can help them with whatever it is that they're looking for. Well, it's funny because I have them, you know, I talk to them and find out more about it, but what they think they need is really not what they need, you know. It's like there's really more to it. So yeah, definitely we identify those areas and we definitely get them on board to something that will help them. And I try to make it as specific as possible for the individual because people learn in different ways and they are dealing with grief in different ways. So, you know, I don't have just like one way of doing everything, you know, it just depends on what it is that they need to have to get the most benefit to their healing.
So, and with that, thank you so much, Misty. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say, everybody listening, because that was a beautiful invitation right now. And anybody listening, you probably don't need what you think you need, or you maybe don't know. But Misty does walk through love over fear, vulnerability over shame, compassion over judgment, forgiveness over resentment, and gratitude over guilt. And you can pick this up in her book. It's From Grief to Acceptance. Again, I keep saying, I just love her very much. An active process for healing while honoring our loved ones. And I want to honor you and thank you not only for the gift from your book, but also sharing in this time with me. And I want everybody to come see Misty Thompson with a T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.
I would love to see and meet everybody. So
Oh, yes. And that's so cool that you work at bookstores. I'm going to have a little chat with you after. I have to know about that. It sounds like a dream job other than working with Charles Kirby. Well, thank you for sharing in this time, Misty. My
thank
goodness.
You.
It's just, I knew it was going to fly. But everybody,
I know
please,
it did. Really.
Please share with Misty.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome. And everybody, we'll get you next week on another Reasons and Ways to Help You Feeling Better, to Help You Feeling Good. We just want to make your life filled with so much joy and happiness. Until then, everybody,